Welcome to episode 005 of Cow Daily. Get your comments in. Please do share the stream as well. Let me know that you're around. Also tonight, we have the venerable Alice Wolfe, and we're blessed to be joined by Jez Hunt as well, one of the funniest people I know, and really happy that he said he would come and join us this time. So without any further ado, I'll bring them in. Alice, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you very much.
Good yes. Stuff. Let's bring Jez in. We'll have a bit of a chat.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Jez, hello.
Hello.
How are you doing, man?
Yeah, not too bad. I should have approached it like a drunken Nadine Dorries then and gone, why are you asking? off me lips at 7 a.m.
What a belter, man. So a quick check-in. Where's everybody in the world? Where are yous?
I'm good, actually. When I was like on last week, I know I had like the demeanor of like a haunted Victorian doll and was down. But things I've had like a really big like milestone since then, and that like for the first time in 2 years, and I can't believe I did it. I went to a gig.
Tell us because I know obviously you know we've done the clinically vulnerable person episode.
Yeah, Wheezy.
How was that in that context for you?
I thought it was going to be terrifying. I've got to say, after about 5 Guinnesses, it was actually all right. Found I didn't care as much after that much to drink. It wasn't even so much the whole, you know, obviously there's always a chance of picking something up, but it was more, I didn't know how I was going to react to that many people around me. Mm-hmm. And like jumping up and dancing and everything like that. But actually, it was really, really nice. I went to see Idols, and they were really, like, a really fun crowd. And I just realised, like, how much I'd kind of, like, missed with it. There is somebody, and I've got absolutely no idea who it was, like, towards the end of the show. It was a bit heavy on the strobes. And although I don't have photosensitive epilepsy, I still tend to shut my eyes as a precaution. I've done that since, like, I went to raves in the 90s. And I never died during them either, when I probably should. But obviously when people are bumping into you and you've got your eyes closed, it makes you a bit disorientated. So I was kind of a bit wobbly. Mm-hmm. And the lass came and asked me if I was all right. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm absolutely fine. And just kind of explained why I was doing it. And she held my hand for, like, most of the rest of the song. And it was just like, I had my eyes closed and I just had this complete stranger like holding onto my hand. I don't know what you look like and I don't know what your name was, but thank you because it was a really lovely moment.
Milk of human kindness. Yeah. Jez, welcome to the show, mate. It's been a long time. We're just talking off air there, weren't we? It's like this crazy world that we're living in. It's like, what have you been up to? What have you been doing?
Since the last time I saw you.
Oh man, like I'm not gonna ask you to do that in 2 minutes, but like just a pot of history.
Yeah, no, it's been really weird. Like it's been really weird. We got like the year before lockdown, I ended up doing 6 months doing leather work on a Netflix thing, a series called Cursed, and a fantasy Arthurian thing. I was like, oh cool, because I'd done bits and bobs of TV stuff and film stuff, like done the stuff of Tolkien and things. And then yeah, got on that Netflix thing, and then was like all sort of set up for the next year, and then obviously, you know, the plague came upon us, and then we got locked in, and the film industry kind of fell apart. So it was like,
so what? For people who don't know, what is it that you do?
I do leather work, so I make armor and bags and belts and masks and anything out of leather, basically, and occasionally for film and TV. So
well. Up on the screen, Ancestor Leather Crafts. There's an Etsy link there. Search on Etsy for Ancestor Leather Crafts. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
How you mean? You didn't ask us to, but like, I rate you as a human, but your work's incredible.
Yeah.
Like, really lush. You were saying you were doing something with Lucasfilm, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, during lockdown, obviously, no one got any bloody work at all. Like, but luckily, I was doing some stuff for Kinrun at the time down in Bishop Auckland, big historic. Mm-hmm. Sort of horse show things. I was doing a lot of stuff.
Oh, that massive show.
We do stuff for most years, but they introduced a new sort of fantasy bit. So we had loads of armor for people on horseback and stuff that we had to make. So that was pretty cool. And then, yeah, ended up in March. Was it March? Yeah, I think it was March or April. going down and working on a Lucasfilm series that will be out on Disney at some point. Working for the Max. that'll be on this year at some point, like a fantasy series thing.
That's amazing. I'm really chuffed that, like, in spite of all of this carry on that's going on in the world, you're getting all things done and getting work in.
Yeah, it's been cool. It's been a very weird few years. What's going on? Like, I'm working TV stuff. Oh, cool. All right. And then, like, now you're going to be locked in the house 3 years. What?
Yeah.
Okay. And then, like, and now you're going to go and work with the people that made Dune and bloody Mad Max Fury Road and the Martian and, like, you know, for the company that made Star Wars. And they're like, what is going on? I don't understand. Like, pretty weird. Right. And you get total imposter syndrome, obviously, that whole, like, you expect the man to come and go, I'm sorry, we've made a terrible mistake. You have to go home now. But no, it's been a weird couple of years.
That's tremendous, though, dude. I'm really, really chuffed for you. So just for the listeners and the watchers as well, if you could subscribe to the Cow Daily YouTube channel. Lots of people have been doing that this month. That's really, really cool. So much and appreciative of that. But also, please share the stream. Help us try to reach new people. That would be really cool. So tonight on the menu, we have Jimmy Carr. What a dafty, to say the least. Kirsty Allsop. Let them eat cake. We'll be talking about that. What else are we going to talk about? Oh, yeah, the fact that, like, the Labour Party are about as much use as Chocolate Fire God again. So again, we'll be talking about that. And, of course, the ultimate palate cleanser, positive news to round off the show. The now traditional, which is bloody needed, I feel, these days, isn't it, chaps?
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So let's get into it. Let's get into this dystopian hellscape that we live in. Kirsty Allsop, let's see. So, bit of background. Kirsty Allsop was in the Sunday Times. I'm not sure if she wrote this or not, but she was saying young people could afford to get on the property ladder if they gave up luxuries such as their gym memberships and foreign holidays and looked at cheaper areas, according to Kirsty Allsop. So, chaps, what's your first reaction to that? Jez, we'll bring you in on this one first.
Kirsty Allsop, it's one of the sort of horrible middle class entertainment for bored middle class housewives, and it drives me mad. It's like she, you know, it's not enough that people have to work, you know, really hard for a living. Then it comes up to things like Christmas, and she's one of those, like, now you should make everything in your house things, and he just adds to the stress of people, and this constant rolling of, like, house and buying stuff is it drives me sphere. I'm not a huge fan, and this let them eat cake thing is ridiculous. It's like, Sir Arthur, she's the son of a baron. Like, you know, she got help. She admitted that she got help with buying a house. So, like, most people don't have a baron as a father. So it's somewhat more difficult for the rest of us to forego luxuries, especially at the moment. Like, to come out with that during a crisis in the cost of living. Like,
indeed, man.
Facing a choice of heating or eating, it's like, oh, which of those that we're left with do you want me to give up, mate? Like, because at the moment, people are having to choose, and then they've got to give that up so that people who own properties can make lots of money and banks lots of money.
But for audio listeners, I'll just read this slide out, Jez. The location presenter said she felt enraged when people claimed they could not afford a home. Some graduates and school leavers could consider moving back in with their parents, she added. Also, 50, bought her first property, underlined here, with family help at the age of 21, when the average house price in the UK was about £51,000. Adjusted for inflation, that is 112,000 compared with 255,556 for the average home today. Alice Wolfe, what are your bloody well thoughts on this?
Right. I have a theory that if you look into a resprayed mirror and say gentrification three times, Kirsty also appears with a felting kit and increases the rent in your area by 2/3. The thing about the cheaper areas, what she actually said was that like people should start just moving north and buying up the houses there. And it's just like, this is kind of been what people have been doing for years. And it's sort of the kind of what's led to the entire mess that we're in now. It's just utterly tone deaf. And it's one of a long line of this kind of thing that we've seen for ages. There was the whole Molly May thing back in January, who is the creative director for Pretty Little Thing, who, you know, was basically saying, you know, just stop being poor. That isn't what she said, by the way. I'm paraphrasing. but she was basically trying to say that everybody's got the same opportunities, even if we came from poorer backgrounds. We've all got the same 24 hours a day, and how she worked her butt off, even though Pretty Little Thing is owned by Boohoo, who is the company who back in 2020 was found to have like sweatshops in Leicester where they were paying people £3.50 an hour, and which is very, very illegal. And when there was that whole huge coronavirus outbreak in Leicester, mm-hmm. and the city got like re-locked down and everything.
That was like early on in the pandemic, yeah.
Yeah, it was traced back basically to the factories there and the appalling conditions that were in there. I don't like to pick on Molly May too much. You know, she's basically a poster girl for Pretty Little Thing, and she's 22. And
although who is she? She off some reality show or something?
Yeah,
right?
She's done like reality TV stuff and things like that. And as I say, she was hired as the creative director of this clothing company. But as I say, she's pretty much a poster girl, and she's 22 years old. And I think, you know, as much as it wound me up, we've all had shitty takes, especially when we were 22, and I'm prepared to kind of allow people to grow and sort of check themselves. But Kirsty Allsop, like, nah, I'm not letting up on her. It's like she comes from a place of absolute privilege, and I don't understand why she keeps finding justification for saying this stuff when she's got no idea.
I understand, man. Like, before I bring Jez back in, I'm just gonna put this up on the screen. Even the guy who fucking edited the article, and this is from the Sunday Times, the average deposit for a first-time buyer is 59,000 according to Halifax. To save that, you would need to forgo your Starbucks latte, Netflix subscription, gym membership, and EasyJet flights for 37 years. So, I mean, I'd like to just like come in at this point. It seems to me that this is clickbait and clickbaiting the world. And it's like, you know, for those who tuned in last week, we talked about the whole dead cat Lyndon Crosby thing. And we'll touch a little bit on the Labour Party section on that in a minute. It seems like there's being dead cats thrown left and right at the moment.
Absolutely.
It's not just the politicians who are doing it. It's these so-called celebrities as well. It even says this in the article, but everybody's went off it at the headline. And it just seems to me that this section of the article renders the whole thing like worthless. They know that they're taking the piss. It's this whole sort of like coffee and avocado toast debate. Like when the pandemic was like, well, the pandemic's still on, but when it was like, you know, in the news, people were talking about, we've got to get you back into the office. You know, we need you to buy all this avocado toast and coffee so Pret can survive. But now it's like, got to stop buying that. We need you to buy houses. Like, what is it? Like, they're just targeting young people specifically here, because generally young people don't have these platforms that these absolute wankers do have. So just another slide will go on. Do you know what that is? Do you know what that is there? That's her dad's fucking house.
Yeah, she grew up in a
shithole, that is, isn't it? What an absolute shithole. And there's our father, dad for international listeners. Like, in said house. Like, yeah. What the hell is she talking about? Yeah, of course you got family help, because that's Baron Ponsonby fucking Smythe right there. who put his hand down the back of the bloody settee and pulled out the deposit money, or probably just bought the thing. Like, yeah. It's absolutely ridiculous. Jez, my friend, yeah. Any further thoughts on this bunch of absolute tossers?
I think we're just not eating enough of the rich, personally. You know, it would end the cost of living crisis as well. You know, it's not a choice between heating and eating. You can eat and burn them both. perfect solution.
This is true, and if there's anything left over, those old houses are really drafty, so we could insulate Britain with the fat that's what was left over from the corpses. Everybody wins, and we get rid of the rich.
There you go, see? Problem solved. No, it's just really annoying. Like, I hate that whole idea of, like, you know, if you don't have, it's because you don't deserve, because you've not been working hard enough. And you're like, if that was true, all those people that were working in that boohoo sweatshop, like, would all be living in that guy's fucking house? Because yeah. They're all working very hard all the time and not having easy jet holidays. I'm assuming if you're on slave labor wages, essentially, you're not getting Netflix accounts or, you know, going and buying too much avocado toast. So, like, according to this deranged theory, like, they should all be living in mansions. But it's bullshit.
Still using somebody else's Netflix account. Like, you can get the password off somebody. I'm still draining that.
And I worked for Netflix.
That's the thing. You're dead bougie now, man. You're like, you've crossed the Rubicon, haven't you? You're just like part of the man now, dude. The pandemic's been kind to some of us, Jez. I'm going round to George Lucas's ranch to show my leather work. Now, this is the thing, and I want to, you know, it's a general point we're laughing about, but I'm not hating on people who do well, but like, no, I'm not into the Baron's like background, but I'd suggest there was some chicanery over the generations of his family, which led to them being in this position of grace and favor. So like yous, I have a real, real visceral reaction when these fuckers try and lecture us on how to do life. They don't know what we go through. They have not got a clue what we have to deal with. And I bet you the pandemic was like mildly inconvenient in that house we've just seen. You know, at best.
Yeah.
I remember Kirsty also at the start of the pandemic, actually, we were all told, like, you know, those of us who are privileged enough to have a second home, stay at your first address. She, as soon as she could, straight in the motor and down to bloody Devon or wherever the hell her second home was. And she got caught, but nothing happened to her because I'm sure daddy's friends made it go away.
Yeah, I grew up in Cumbria and there was a lot of that. I don't live there now, but there was a lot of that going on there as well. And getting there and being royally pissed off that, you know, all the proles weren't opening up the cafes to serve them things, you know, and then flooded the area when things were opening back up and kind of expecting people to be grateful for that. And it was like, well, yeah, because they were, you know, obviously they were glad to open up because they didn't want to, you know, be destitute. But at the same time, they didn't really want to be working for their health either. But there was literally no choice. And that's what people are left with.
Definitely, man. Should we take some comments?
Yeah.
Let's see what people have said. Gavin Watson. I don't have a bloody gym membership for fuck's sake. She's up your own arse, the silly coo. Straight to the point, G. Nice one. Loving that. Here's one. Ian Clark. Sorry, Jez, I've cancelled the Netflix so we can buy a semi in Cowgate.
Oh, you don't have a semi in Cowgate.
Definitely not, no. Like, who knows what might happen in Cowgate or in a cow. So, Greg Oxley. Hello, Greg. Nice to see you. She alone is worth £16 million, apparently.
See, it's because we're just not working hard enough to go back in time and be born to a baron. That's what it is like. And then,
yeah, we're not peddling overpriced felting kits to make, like, wee little hedgehogs that, like, fall apart.
I mean, I really think young people really need to pull their socks up. I really don't think they're choosing their parents very well.
Yeah.
That's it, yeah. They just work harder, you know, then they could come out in a baroness's womb instead. I think that's how it works, isn't it?
Right, we've got a little bit of, like, rap battle-esque back and forth in the comments here. Guy Roberts, what's wrong with a semi and Cowgate? I mean, it depends who it's in front of, Guy, you know what I mean? So, man, like comments are flying in tonight. I mean, obviously, these are our like hot button topics, and we don't really want to keep talking about this stuff, which is like, you know, when we get onto the Labour Party thing later on, you would think we're going to talk about what happened with Starmer. We kind of are, but there's a theory behind this because there was a vote in Parliament last night, and he was either coming or going from that when you know what happened. So I think what we should do is let's transition into that section now, yeah?
Yeah.
And we'll go from there. You good with that, chaps?
Yep.
Nice one. So here's the thing. So last night, Keir Starmer abstains on the benefit cut bill and whips Labour to abstain. 13 Labour MPs rebelled against it. The Tory bill passed by 298 votes to 29, meaning there's a 3-4% cut to pensions and social security benefits, leaving millions more poor starving. The Roll of Honour, who did vote against it, the usual suspects, but for people on the audio, Apsana Begum, Richard Burgeon, Ian Byrne, Dan Carden, Ian Lavery, Tony Lloyd, Rebecca Long-Bailey, John McDonnell, Graham Morris, Kat Smith, Zara Sultana, Nadia Whittam, and Beth Winter. Come on down, still giving the people what they need.
Actually left wing.
Actually left wing people within Labour Party. So I was going to play the video of what happened with Starmer last night, but there was something wrong with StreamYard, so it just wouldn't upload the video. So for those that don't know what happened, Starmer was, as I say, either coming or going from the Commons, like this was the vote that was happening last night, and walked into like protesters. I don't know what, like anti-vax, really not sure what we're calling them. People, there were some people outside, and they were going, traitor, scumbag, what's it like to be part of the New World Order? Like that kind of carry on was going on. It was hilarious, I thought. And like also some of this bloody hand-wringing that's been going on from people who basically wanted Corbyn's head on a spike on national TV. But I don't want to get into that side of it because I don't think we've got time to get into that aspect of it so much. My theory is, and I don't know what you guys think, Jez will bring you in first, that this was set up because there's many doors in and out, and they walked out the one where the protesters were. So what do you think?
I mean, there's a chance of it. Apparently, those protesters are there all the time outside and have accosted various people. Little Gove and various other people, and nothing's particularly been made of it until now. So, I mean, if there's a chance, the dead cat thing's a pretty standard political stunt anyway. It always has been. Thatcher going down, dead cat of the Falkland Islands, you know what I mean? Like, it's the same thing, like, distract people with bread and circuses. That's
been a very odd one. One of my dogs, like, barged in because he hates the wind and he's running up and down underneath the table that I've got all the kit on. So if anything goes off, it's because he's everybody. Oh, man. Right, 2 seconds. You keep talking. I'm going to have to address this because he's like a wrecking ball and there's a storm here and he hates wind. 2 seconds.
Oh, bless him. Okay.
Just carry on. Hold me down, homies.
Okay, that's fine. I think I'm sort of with you, Jez, in that I don't know whether it was a setup or not. I think it was, if we're going to say setup in the sense that they would have predicted that those people were going to be there and decided to capitalise on it rather than it being, kind of, oh, let's put some protesters there and get the heckle Keir Starmer. But yeah, absolutely, the dead cat is absolutely...
Heads will roll. We'll carry on.
Tiny little dog, leave him alone.
He's a massive collie. He's like, you literally...
Oh, was it that one?
I was there by the little ones, no better. But like the reason he got KB there is because he's a wrecking ball when like there's hail bashing off the windows. But people who don't know, I'm in the Shetland Islands, right? And I've been here for the last like few months because my partner's got a job up here and we're kind of like wanted to get a bit of life during the pandemic. So we're going from like house to house and basically house arrest like everybody is. But it's a different kind of house arrest every time we move. So sorry to put in there. Apologies for Zebedee, but this is the context. And it's gale force six outside and he hates the wind. So really good of her to bring him here. Carry on.
Dogs need to come first, man. That's no, I was just saying that it's you know, I think it, you know, it would only have been set up in the you know, in the sense that they would have predicted that those people were going to be there and decided, oh, let's get the cameras out because we know what they're going to do and we can, you know, we can use it as a distraction because let's face it, Keir Starmer has a really long history of doing this when there's a bill that's a little bit controversial coming in. I don't expect him to do anything but to tell people to abstain now. That's just what he does. I was trying to think of a situation where he might do anything other than abstain, and all I came up with was if Sam Beckett from Quantum Leap like time traveled into his body and took over the wheel. I'm really showing my age here. If anybody has
Oh boy.
It was a really old show where this guy was time traveling, would travel from body to body and would have to put something right to stop something really terrible happening in the world. So yeah, you'd have to like jump into the body of Keir Starmer and, you know, not tell people to abstain on a, you know, they executed anyone who earned like under 20 like 25 grand a year or something. It's just it, and it's, you can't tell people to, you know, we have this whole thing of people going, oh, you know, you still need to support Labour, otherwise you just end up with Tories. Stop saying that. It's because of this kind of thing why people are leaving Labour in droves. They're leaving the most vulnerable high and dry, and they're not, you know, they're not going to help the most vulnerable people while Keir Starmer keeps doing this. And say that, that those 13 MPs who voted against it, I could have told you their names before, you know, before this. It's, you know, it's always them who do kind of go against it, but it's not enough.
No, it's not enough. And we don't have an opposition in this country apart from, like, you know, people making a principled vote against like that. And it's a real issue for democracy as a whole. I mean, we saw what happened with somebody who tried to challenge the establishment. We've seen how the establishment have rounded back and brought everything back into a nice, comfortable position. And also we're seeing how these same people are hand-wringing and clutching their pearls because he got shouted at a bit in the street. I mean, it's all over the news. It's all really sort of poor old Keir. Corbyn got punched in the head by somebody holding an egg in his hand. Not only that, because of the hostile environment that was like around the Labour Party at the time, there was like pensioners who were out canvassing. One of them was hospitalised. One of them got a broken rib. This was not really reported at the time, you know, because if it was, then obviously, you know the, where the court of public opinion might have swung. And also there was like a lot of these like blue tick arseholes who were just like making all these crappy puns like, oh, that's excellent and all of that stuff, which is very counter to like the exact same people. Now, I didn't have time to, like, I didn't think we had time to get all of these slides up and hold these people to account. But we will be talking in positive news about somebody who does the God's work, who does, who's the basically the godfather of the This You tweet, where he's pulling up and bringing all these people to account on this, but on loads of other stuff. So I'll throw that up later on. Jez, just to close this section off, what are your thoughts, mate?
It's one of those things, isn't it? With the way that they voted as well, like it's yet more proof of that that thing where current Labour won't give Corbyn the whip, like won't give a left-wing ex-party leader the whip, but they will welcome a Tory with open arms.
Yeah,
who voted consistently against left-wing sort of ideas, really. Like, and I think there's a lot. That all says a lot to me about where the Labour Party is now. That, you know, people say, oh, Tory light, but just Tory. Like, you know, you've got
a choice Tory
or extreme Tory now. And they're, like, the Overton window is fully to the right. So, and that vote last night kind of proves that kind of thing. But, they, you know, if it is a cover-up, or a taking advantage of situations, a dead cat or a windy dog, then it's been really well played. Like, you know what I mean? It's worked a treat because that's all that's on the news. And yeah, apparently smears against Sir Keith are bad, whereas against Corbyn they were all right.
Well, no, that's just it. It's just so hypocritical. Like the hypocrisy, because, you know, I'm basically the internet and I'm never off it. So I've watched this like flood of hand rigging from absolute bastards, like who basically got in the way of solutions for like millions of people who are living in poverty in this country, who now have very little hope during the cost of living crisis. If you want to know about it, we did that in a previous show and other things. It's absolutely sickening to me. People know that I work in communities for a couple of decades. People have faces, they have names. It's not the poor, as Kirsty Allsop wanted to call it, and other people of that nature. It all seems to be one part of one big club, and we're not invited. And anybody who challenges the outer rims of this, as we will see as we go into the next section about the Jimmy Carr thing and how his mates, who we happen to have heard of, have done exactly the same kind of hand-wringing shit. So some of the most heinous bullshit I've ever had the misfortune to read and say in my life, you know? But we'll come into that later on in the show. The current iteration of the Labour Party is not fit for purpose, and I will debate anybody on this. It's an open invite. Come on the live stream, tell us what the terms of the debate are, and I'll debate you. Because I'm sick and tired of it. But at the same time, there's people on the social media, which is bubbling up again, so thanks for your contributions. I don't agree with them, but I respect them because they come at it with, like, I don't agree with you, but here's lots of, like, reasons why. And some of it's really persuasive as well. But at the same time, I'd back myself to debate the fact that I think you're wrong. I think maybe it's because of my age. I'm of a certain age now, and I've seen this happen before. I've seen these cycles of like, oh, well, we'll try Blair. That'll be better. And I remember like being a young lad, things can only get better on that night. It was like, yeah, the Tories have gone. The Tories have gone. And then I got politicized more and more. It was the Labour Party under Blair that politicized us. It wasn't really so much the Tories before. I was a bit too young. But when I was starting to get a sentience, it was the Labour Party. And it's just Blair 2.0, but without the charisma. Because it's like, say what you want about Blair, he's a charismatic man.
Yeah, so exactly charismatic.
he's an absolute dafty. I mean, like, I don't even know. Like, they're talking about winning over the Red Wall, and I was going to stick this video up. You ever seen the video where he's like hitting a, like, he's got Vote Labour boxing gloves on, and he's like this, like hitting the bag? And I was like, look, I'm not trying to stereotype, but I'm from the so called Red Wall. I'm from a council estate on the Red Wall, and a lot of people I know would look at that and just say, look at that melt. Like, why have they put him in that position? It's things like that that maybe would be the difference between voting or not, because it's happened with leaders throughout history, and you'll know this more than most, Jez, given like your love of history and what you do. Like there needs to be a strength. And I didn't think that was in Corbyn either, just for the record. There's things that to be criticized about him, but yeah. I trust him. Like, yeah. I don't trust any of these other rats, you know? Should we take some comments? Comments. Right. Robert Grady, you can't call the Labour Party an opposition. They don't oppose, without a doubt.
Yeah, I think for me, it's look at what's happening in America at the time. Exactly what we said would happen with Joe Biden. You know, you had the vote blue, no matter who. Brigade, and oh, we can push Biden to the left, and like look what's happening there. It's like you can't. It's been proven time and time again. I don't know what else we need to prove. I know that people just desperately need to believe that it would be better, because it's so awful now, and I get that, but we have to look at what we've got, honestly.
Definitely.
Do you remember that? Was it the episode of The Simpsons when it's got the two aliens that come down and they take on human bodies and get into run American politics, and they head both parties, and they're John Jackson and Jack Johnson, and like, you have to vote for one, and they're both human eating aliens. And
yeah, like, man.
Exactly that.
Republican, Democrat. It's the one and the same thing, two cheeks of the same arse, and unfortunately, that's what it is. Joanne G here, second homie. Joanne, I think you're referring to me being in Shetland. You've caught me, yes. We fled here during the pandemic, and we've left our castle in Northumberland behind. father is so down on me because I'm missing the polo tournament that we've got lined up because I'm here slumming it with these bloody Viking relics that I've left behind on Shetland. So yes, quite right.
You did take your favourite servants with you at least.
Well, you would, wouldn't you? You would. So what else we got? The one from Guy Roberts. Bit of a niche one here. Keir Starmer equals Westminster's Darren G. Now, do you know who Darren G is?
No.
He's like some kind of YouTube sensation, right? He was in jail for murder for like about 18 years. And he's on this kind of like, there's this whole like, this is so niche, but it's like quite big as a niche. There's all these criminals who've got podcasts or former criminals, they claim. And they're all like at war with each other. And it's like hard to know whether it's set up or not. So there are parallels as to what Guy's saying here, yeah, with like, you know, this kind of YouTube war thing where it's some kind of like set piece thing that like, so Keir Starmer equals Westminster's Darren G. Absolutely belter. So then I'll just remove this comment. Cheers, Guy. Scott, sorry, I've got a little frog in my throat. It was the weather here is really, really not the greatest. So before we move on to the next section, if you would like to support what we're doing, become a patron and gain instant access to Milk Cow's private chat forum. Also, we're going to be doing a monthly mental health support group. I think I've got some time to write the email for that tomorrow. Also, thanks everybody for your patience. we're getting the first early access content. Podcasts in audio format are going up on Patreon tomorrow. That's with Tom Fowler from the Spy Cops. Well, he's covering the Spy Cops Inquiry and was affected by the Spy Cops Inquiry too. So there's an long-form explainer coming with that. Also, Joe Glendon as well, who was a deserter from the Afghan War. And he's got a new book out called Veteranhood. It's utterly hilarious. And he's the king of the Captain Tom joke. He's basically... like us, I suppose. He just likes to be a spiky bastard and wind people up. So those two are coming out tomorrow on there. I'll be uploading those. And for people who aren't patrons, they'll obviously be coming out publicly next week. Also clips, video, they're in video format as well. Much work to be done. Today was very much centered around getting this live stream put together for you. But tomorrow, become a patron at patreon.com/cowdaily. Also, please subscribe to the Cow Daily YouTube channel and tell your pals that we're back. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you. So, one more section, and then after that, we'll be doing positive news.
Positive news.
And it's Jimmy Carr. So, right, before I put this slide up, right, this is even worse in written form. I was going to show the video, and obviously I couldn't, and then I thought, I'm not going to show it anyway, and then StreamYard wasn't working properly. So... yeah. I'm just giving you a fair warning. It's, if you don't know what this is, it's just rotten.
Mm.
So what Jimmy Carr says for the audio people, this was his joke. When people talk about the Holocaust, they talk about the tragedy and horror of 6 million Jewish lives being lost to the Nazi war machine. But they never mention thousands of gypsies killed by the Nazis. No one wants to talk about that because nobody ever wants to talk about the positives. What Alice, do you want to take this one first?
God, it's just vile. And I think, yeah, so this was on his Netflix special. It isn't actually the first time he's made a joke about gypsies before. Apparently Radio 4 had to apologise for him back in, I think it was like 2006, for something he said about gypsy women. And he knows exactly what he's doing. And I think, say we talked about this was even before we knew that the videos weren't working on StreamYard at the minute, about whether to show the video or not. And I know like me and Mike had kind of discussed it and just decided not to, because it's like, you know, if you were from that community, it's so triggering. I mean, I just found it awful. And it's not just what he says, it's the laughter. And it's not just kind of that nervous like titter. There's like, you know, there's like people whooping and cheering. And it just kind of felt like you see it a lot. It's not just Jimmy Carr who does it. It just seems to be like the last bastion of acceptable racism, I think. And it's particularly worrying. you know, trying to think of it in the, you know, with the upcoming police crime sentencing and courts bill coming up, which would give, you know, basically give police even more powers than they already do have to just criminalise gypsy and traveller way of life. And I was, you know, because I mean, I'm not from the gypsy and traveller community. I'm not even going to attempt to speak on their behalf because that would just be really, really fucking insulting. But I was watching a thing on LBC with Billy Welsh, who's like he's at the Share a Rom or like the head gypsy. So he's like a spokesperson for a lot of the Romani community. He does a lot of the liaison work at Appleby Horse Fair. And he was, I think, a couple of years back for Holocaust Memorial Day, went to Auschwitz as well. So he does a lot of work. And I was listening to him talk on there, and there was a couple of things he said that really like struck a nerve with me. The first was that he said, when he heard the crowd laughing, it struck fear into my heart, is what he said. And, you know, you can imagine what that must feel like, especially when you will have already, experienced years of persecution anyway. And it's, you know, it's not just some random person on Twitter, which would be bad enough. You know, this is like a comedian who's, you know, quite wealthy, quite established. And it was on a Netflix special as well that this was allowed to be said. What's been in the news as well this week as well, which I kind of found was an interesting comparison. There was, again, some guy on Twitter, just some bloke who lives in Glasgow, who everybody's getting upset about because of something he said about Captain Tom, which I'm not even going to attempt to do the Glaswegian accent, but was basically along the lines of the only good Brit soldier is a dead one. And he was, you think like, Jesus Christ, that's awful. But he's right. The comparison is that, you know, he's not being paid by Netflix. You know, he's not getting money.
Well, yeah, he's a guy on Twitter. It's without a big platform, I suppose. Yeah.
And he has been charged under the Communications Act for that. He's getting sentenced next month for it.
Really?
So you think, again, it's, you know, and yes, what he said might have been awful. Was it against a protected, you know, people with a protected, you know, characteristic, you know, people of a particular racial group? It wasn't. And it just seems like the kind of difference in how those two things are being treated is just mad. And the other thing that Billy Welsh said, the guy on LBC, that really struck a nerve with me. And I think this kind of, because you know, there's that, you can have that whole debate of, you know, oh, dark humor, and I like dark humor, and yeah, I do as well, but I don't, you know, I don't like to punch down. And what Billy Welsh said was that he talked about the Second World War and like the run-up to that in Germany, and what he said was you know, that he talked about before they started pulling people away. You know, so when they start taking away Jewish people, before they start taking away gypsies, they, you know, that you said the media conditioned the minds of the people with propaganda about what awful people they were and everything. And that made it acceptable. It kind of, you know, it conditioned the people, you know, the population to kind of almost like, you know, not just ignore it, but to actively cheer it on when they did start coming for them. And you think, well, yeah, we do have a bill coming up which is going to massively, massively affect lots and lots of different people. Why is it like 2022 and that's like, and that's still all right?
I hear you, man. It's like, but this is the thing, it's never going to be all right, is it? But there was, I'll just put this slide up here. Just bear with us. This is from, like, he's a traveller guy himself, Mikey Walsh. He's an author as well. And what he's saying is, I don't know what I should be more gutted or disgusted by here. The kind of racism that us GRT people are forced to live with every day, that it's still absolutely okay to demonise us and our demise as a joke, or the reactions of whooping and cheering from the audience. So absolutely to your point there, Alice. Also, Victoria Corrin Mitchell, who is basically saying here, while I'm here, well, what do you mean while you're here? You've picked your phone up to tweet this, man. I might take a moment to mention, I also love Jimmy Carr, a close friend who made about 1,000 jokes I wouldn't make myself as a stage performer. But as a man, he's full of goodness and kindness. He's probably a decent person. Anyway, Robo Bunny. I don't get what that is, Robo Bunny. But what I'd like to say is it's just a little bit like, oh, well, at least Hitler made the trains run on time and Eva Braun loved them or something. So somebody's challenged her here. Do you think you would be similarly quick to defend him if you'd made a joke defending the murder of Jews in the Holocaust? Her response is, yes, it's not about the joke. Jez, you want to come in at this point, mate, and tell her what you're saying?
It's one of those things, isn't it, where you just think, like, why pick that? I mean, dark humour is one thing. Like, you know, we sort of make dark jokes. I did before about eating the rich. But was that a joke? Who knows?
You weren't punching down, though, were you?
No, and that's the thing with it. Like,
that's
it,
the thing with satire. Satire is meant to punch up.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, and that's when it's funny. Like, and because that is the only power that you have in that. But the power of a rich dickhead like Jimmy Carr over, you know, your average traveller community is there's a bit of a disparity there. It's more than punching down, and it's spitting on their fucking dead as well. Like, and that, I don't know. I think it's a pretty low. Low joke level for British.
Just low hanging fruit, I feel, for like, you know, just for a reaction. It's like, sort of a reaction comedy. And like I'd like to say, he called his special his dark material, which is obviously a play on his dark materials. But that doesn't give you the right to just as you said, Alice, I'm just going to like put something else up here as well. So this is somebody from LBC. She's a producer called Shivani Sharma. And what she said was, a caller just said Jimmy Carr should be locked up for his comments on Jews. When I explained it was about gypsies, he replied, okay, that's a bit different then. Very revealing. And Alice, if I could just bring you back in on that, because it's really to your point, isn't it, about what you were saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think I've challenged people, about this before. And when I say that, you know, it's, you know, friends who've had like really abhorrent views or said really abhorrent things, you know, about that community. And once it was a senior police officer as well, which went down really well. But I wasn't, you know, going to sit there and listen to it. You know, as I say, I'm not from that community, but that means even more that you should be saying something about it. And I'm always going to, and people need to do that more, I think. I don't know why it's still okay now. And it just, you know, as people have kind of pointed out, put any other ethnic group in there, change the name from Gypsies and Travellers and see how you feel about that statement there. And they would feel, you know, they would feel very, very differently. The war wasn't, you know, when you think about it, in terms of human history, the Holocaust wasn't that long ago at all. There's people living now who have direct relatives who were affected, you know, by that, you know, who have got generations of family stories lost. And I think because of what happened there, and we seem to kind of skip back into it every time, and like, oh yeah, that's okay because it's the gypsies and travellers, but they're just that they are continually demonized in the media. Like, honestly, like Channel 5 are one of the worst. Like they bring out some like documentary with some like really horrific like title. You know, it's like, oh yeah, let's make a documentary about them, and you know, things like. You
gypsies are terrorizing your nan.
And wearing big dresses. Not big dresses.
At their wedding.
Yeah.
It is the last. Sorry, Jez, you were going to say, mate?
It is the last allowable prejudice that people are allowed to spout all the time. Like, going on about, you know, pikeys and gypos and all that kind of stuff. Like, it's stuff that you still hear and you're like, you couldn't say this about any other ethnicity, like people or the other people that suffered in the Holocaust as well, you know, because there is the 6 million Jews at least that met the demise, and then there's the 5 million of travellers, of which we don't know whether it was a quarter of all the community throughout all of Europe that were killed in that, or three quarters of them. We still don't know because you know, they didn't keep great records weirdly about that kind of thing. And that's a huge number. But also the rest of those communities that were demonized by the far right, weirdly. Strange how that keeps cropping up. And they're still the same ones now. They're people who may be against war. Jehovah's Witnesses were killed in vast numbers. Gay people, communists, left-wingers, you know. It's like, it's the same list of people who are always abused by those in power. And Jimmy Carr is a figure in power, you know. Comedians are meant to punch up. Like, that's the point of them. Otherwise, why do we even have them?
Like, yeah, exactly. And especially in a situation that we're in where, like, journalism is basically dead and they're just stenographers for the establishment. Like, comedy does have a function, and it has a function to be that kind of, like, check and balance. Like, a good comedian or a good comedy movement can do that. I mean, just on, like, sort of, you know, Alice, you were mentioning as well about, like, you know, how the conditions were set before the Holocaust and how people were demonized. I just want to pull some things up that I've found in the press. So, from the Times, it's time we stop pandering to travelers, indulging those who claim to be nomads by giving them designated sites and ethnic minority status has gone too far, says Matthew Paris in the Times. Really, Matthew, is that right? The next one. Charlotte Nichols is a Labour MP. The headline reads, Labour MP pulls local election leaflet containing anti-traveller pledge. What it says on a Labour Party official leaflet, which was in Orford, which her constituents, like Warrington, around that area, it talks about traveller incursions. Like, incursions. Mm-hmm. Really? Yeah.
Like the Mongols.
That's the way that people are being cast, though.
Yeah.
Also from Open Democracy, some of our good friends from the Independent Media Association as well. Headline reads, Priti Patel's war on the UK's last nomads. With its new police bill, the government is trying to criminalise gypsy and travellers' very way of life. Now, I'm going to bring yous in, but I'm going to end this section with like what the GRT community are saying, and it relates to this. So any final thoughts before I bring that in?
I think just going back, it just seems to be the last acceptable thing. And you see it, it's not just a right wing thing. I think that's what we have to kind of accept, that you'll see it in people, you know, people who consider themselves to be left leaning. I mean, I've kind of taken issue with people before and pulled them up. And it's the kind of people who are from that whole new agey toxic positivity shit, who are quite happy to appropriate gypsy culture and, you know, call themselves a free-spirited gypsy on Tinder and will call the cops on if they see a traveler within like 3 miles of their of their yurt or whatever it is that they live in. it's just we need to get better at defending, you know, at defending our communities, all of them.
We certainly do, man, without a doubt, and this is a big part of it. And I'll be honest with you, like, this happening has been a good thing. Now, I wouldn't say I'm specifically prejudiced against anybody, but I've had to like reflect and look at myself, and I realized there was some internalized prejudice. Now daft, but it was just like, yeah, I do have a certain view of what travelers might be like, and why is that? I think there's a laziness there within us, and I think it's important to acknowledge that, you know. Because of the parts of traveler culture that we get exposed to, like the things you mentioned, Jez, about like gypsy weddings and how people are made into a bloody cartoon. So, you know, it's like, that's something that I think we all need to look at, man. It's absolutely fucked. Fucked in the head, and it fucks us in the head. And we have to stand beside the GRT community. Like, racism. Absolutely. You can't call yourself an anti-racist if you're not against all forms of racism. Yeah. It's absolutely that simple. Jez, you want to say something, mate?
It was just I think you probably got more in common with your average sort of traveller than you have with fucking Baron's daughter, crusty old sop. Like, you know what I mean? Like, their experience of life is going to be much more similar to your own than somebody who's been brought up in total privilege all the time. I know that when I used to work in the Prevost in Newcastle, like selling leather, and we'd get quite often sort of travellers in, sometimes getting, you know, well, buying leather for doing stuff with horses and things. And that, like, they'd ask how much something was, and you'd give them the price, and they'd go, "All right," and they'd just pay you. And you get the rich people that would come in, and they would always like try and bargain you down instead. And you just think, "No, man, I know who I'd rather serve all the time," and it was the nice people.
Yeah, like, for real, for absolute sure. Well, let's see what the GRT community are saying. So this is for audio listeners, Friends, Families and Travellers, which is an umbrella organisation. So this is relating to the police and crime bill. And what it's saying here is the criminalisation of trespass within that bill will mean only one vehicle will be required to be on the land before the new powers will apply once the triggering conditions are met. They will get a £2,500 fine or time in prison, or the vehicle, which is somebody's home and belongings, being confiscated. Which, like, if you imagine somebody came along and just bulldozed your house, similar stuff. So the FFT submission draws attention to existing police powers, which it states allow for discretionary use and a proportionate response. The chronic lack of site provision by local authorities and the 93.7% of police bodies who call for more site provision as the solution to unauthorized encampments. So lead author of the submission from the Friends, Families and Travellers Group, Public Affairs and Policy Manager at the Friends, Families and Travellers, said, "Part 4, the Police Crime and Sentencing and Courts Bill must be scrapped. We have seen huge opposition to these proposals, not only from the police, but from across society in recognition of the implications for human rights and civil liberties. The government have failed gypsy and traveller communities. There is no point in bringing in more laws which tell travellers where they can't go when you aren't telling them where they can go." And that is a key point. To show me the relevant provision set aside for travellers. Look at like who owns land. It's the barons, and look at the percentage of land that's been passed down through the Allsops and others. It all links together. You know, if you're going to criminalise a whole culture which has been going on for thousands of years, there has always been nomads, right? And we should be protecting that, but also there should be a lot of designated places, because if that is the case, then all of this nanas being frightened and all of this stuff wouldn't happen so much. Because why are people trespassing? Because they've got nowhere else to go. Local authorities move them from one like place to the next. As long as they're out of their boundaries, it's somebody else's problem. Have you got any final thoughts, chaps? Jez, you got out to say there.
I know that there was like a legal thing passed in the 80s, wasn't it? Where in the very late 80s, I think, where there was meant to be land set aside for traveller communities. And weirdly, there isn't any of it. And that was enshrined in British law. But, you know, I'm assuming they probably think that they don't have to fight for traveller votes. So, you know.
So, well, quite. And that's a lot what it comes down to, man. It's like, you know, you look at all links together, the way Starmer's targeting like everybody but the people who actually need a Labour Party, it seems, because they're the people who vote. So solutions focused, we try and go there. I think we need to like work and like we need a new political vehicle. I mean, that's like a key thing, and we need people to stand up in the short term for the GRT community, and that's one of the reasons we wanted to do this today. And make our small contribution, however big or small. This is not okay. Racism is quite clear here. And if you're going to like move people from pillar to post and provide no solutions for them, I mean, it goes back to like, you know, we've spoken in previous iterations of Cow Daily. The sort of what was called the New Age Traveller movement at the time, you know, like it crossed over into the rave scene and the Battle of the Beanfield the Tories going in and trying to smash. This has been a long-term thing to try and smash alternative lifestyles. If it wasn't, then they would have done the logical thing and set aside land for people to go and stay on. But they don't want us to be different, do they?
Nope.
Absolutely not. So no, fuck them.
They want us buying fucking houses and and gym memberships. And
but this is the thing. I mean, it's going to take with 37 years once we've got rid of Netflix and my gym membership. So they can't have it both ways. Like, you know, like, maybe we want to buy a house. Maybe some travellers want to be settled, but how can they be?
Yeah. Like, well, they just need to cancel their Netflix and gym accounts, obviously. They're making all living fucking mansions, apparently.
This is the mad thing. Like, the hypocrisy in Britain is just sickening. Like, yeah. If you want people to fit in your boxes, understand that there will be square pegs in rules. Understand that there's people who don't know what it is to be set like in a settled culture, and it would make them feel really sad, you know. Understand that people just want to be free, and people are desperate for freedom. Understand these things, and then we can be happier, because I guarantee you, like, these people, like, who are traveling around, they're not all bad people. Like, it's like any group of people. Like, if you're trying to demonize people, and as we've seen the hostile environment and the press being created in the slide, just those slides we've shown with the Labour politician and with others, if that's gonna happen, then that only historically leads to bad shit. Absolutely. You know, we've got to understand that people are different, man. What I'd like to do, though, is, we've talked about some pretty dark Lord of the Sith stuff, little Lucasfilm reference for you there, little Lucasfilm. Before we move on to positive news, we'll take a couple of comments. Aha, you were spot on, Alice, from Betty White. Will you, like, Betty came on last week. Betty, will you tell us how to pronounce EED? I don't know if it's the mobile phone network EE or what it is. Robert Grady, it's horrific. We have Balby, is that 15 or 1S? On a similar note, how do you feel about Joe Rogan right now? I did talk about this before, the stuff about the sort of racist things that he said. I talked about this on You Call That Radio when I was a guest on their podcast last week. So if you want to know what I think about, like, everything up, because all the racism stuff for the latest Joe Rogan scandal came out, I think, the day or two after. So I was talking about his anti-vax side of things. So that's a bit of background. We don't really have time to get too deep into it, but he fucked up. And but also at the same time, like, we need to get past this, like, this thing where, like, there's got to be space for people to grow into, you know. And I direct this towards Jimmy Carr and everything as well. He's shown no bloody contrition, actually. Strangely enough, he did a gig in Whitley Bay, and, like, for people who don't know, near where we're from, the other night. And I do include both of you as honorary Geordies, by the way, even though you weren't born there. And he should know, you what?
I'm a half one.
Well, yeah, of course. Jez is one as well, man. He's been there. You've been there longer than you were in Wales, weren't you?
Yeah.
So just to sort of do a little short bit on that, we need to give space for people to grow into, and we need to give space for people to show contrition. And Jimmy Carr didn't show any in Whitley Bay. He stayed show the other night. He doubled down on it and then started playing the victim, saying he's a victim of cancel culture.
I think it's worth pointing out as well, like, obviously people might have seen, like, a petition going around and stuff, and people are talking about Jimmy Carr being cancelled and everything like that. That's not what that petition is. And, like, when you look at, like, what the Traveller Movement, who are, like, a UK charity, what they're asking for, all they are asking for is for that segment to be removed. You know, it's not like a big thing, which I think is a perfectly reasonable thing to be asking. And that's all that people want. And I think that's fair.
Yeah, man, the way we broke it down as well, you see the environment of hostility that's created through the arms of the establishment, which is what most mainstream media tends to be now. We're in very dangerous ground here. And it's like, you know, that tweet that from the LBC producer, it says it all to me. It's like that changed everything when she said we're talking about travellers, that Jimmy Carr directed at travellers. Mm. And that's kind of a little bit of a litmus test of where the sort of discourse is. It's in the gutter. Like, yeah. let's all stand up for GRT people there. Agreed, guys, agreed.
Absolutely.
We all agree. It's fantastic. So just before we move on to the next section, if you would like to, go to the link in the description, sign up to the Cow Daily mailing list. A lot of the good stuff's happening there, and it grows by the day. I'm going to put a one out tomorrow, and you'll find out all about the new movements and things that we're doing in there. But let us move on to one of our favorite parts of the show, which is the positive news segment. First positive news, Alice, you're going to tell about this one. So the Westmoreland Gazette, which I believe is in Cumbria, headline reads, appeal in hunt for smuggler Lanty Slee stash in Langdale. Alice, what's this?
So honestly, I've came across this today and it just filled my heart with joy. So I follow the Westmoreland Gazette because I used to live in Cumbria, as you know, and like when you've got all, you know, it's just some of the articles just are like an absolute tonic, you know, when you're seeing like the horrors of the world, like, you know, like all the other headlines will be like, you know, coronavirus, World War III is about to break out, you know, there's these tsunamis going on, and the Westmoreland Gazette will come out with something like gargoyle stolen from garden in Windermere. Stuff like that. And there was another one like asking people to count dead badgers that they found for a very serious reason. But it was, again, the way it was worded, it's just absolutely wonderful. And so, yeah, this one is a local historian in Cumbria called Phil Burrows, who for the last 20 years has been looking for the hidden distilleries of a guy called Lancelot Lanty Slee, or Lanty Slee as he was known, who I think was like a farmer, but he was also a smuggler, and he made something called Bogwater Moonshine, which...
Bogwater Moonshine!
It's absolutely amazing, and like that has to be enchanted. It has to give you magical powers.
I'd like to try some.
And Lanty Slee died in like 1878, I think. And so there's like not, you know, he was known to have these secret distilleries around, and where he would make this bogwater moonshine. There was a story about how he smuggled some into court once and offered some to the judge. It was just a great story. We're talking, this is like in the Langdale sort of area and High Arnside, and saying, you know, that at the time the region was an area of piracy and lawlessness. I was already sold. You don't have to give it anymore. Phil Burrows has Lanty Slee was also the Walter White of his day as well, which is a nice Breaking Bad reference there. And Phil Burrows has been looking, you know, kind of trying to track down the legends of him, and he's actually found one of his distilleries, one like this kind of hidden stone.
No way.
So the National Trust have given him permission to like look underground for some of them. So he's basically like asking people, have they ever heard any local folklore that's kind of been passed down over the years about these things, which might give some clues as to where the other ones are. And I think I had it down for positive news, because I just love that in 2022, we've still got people going on mad quests for
Bogwater. More mad quests we need.
It just absolutely like warmed the cockles of my heart. So yeah, if anybody knows where Lanty Slee's secret distilleries are, please go.
It's like the Goonies.
It's great, isn't it?
It really is.
Tremendous.
Goonies, isn't it?
That is amazing.
Phil, if you're watching, I would also like, if you need somebody to test the Bogwater Moonshine when you find it, I'm quite happy to give it a shot.
Kind Page has commented, I bet he was mates with Millican Dalton, a slightly famous Cumbrian. Do you need to know of Millican Dalton?
No, and I grew up
class
there.
Name.
I am shamed in my Cumbrian history.
And it continues, Dalton had some well-hidden caves. Right, okay.
Yeah, so if and he was talking about the
some
same...
not so hidden now. So maybe there's that we can square the circle a little bit there and
there was one of these stories where they got visited, they basically got busted and they got found by a customs official or something, and there was like a barrel in there, and like obviously they had the moonshine inside, so they had like one of the women sit on the barrel and like provocatively adjust her stockings, which the customs officer, while they drilled a hole underneath and drained all the moonshine out of it. It was just, it's just mint.
Did she try and distract them with her dead cat?
Got a dead cat under my stockings.
I love out like this, mate. It's tremendous.
Yeah,
tremendous.
But this distillery that they had the hole drilled that they drilled in to get rid of the moonshine. It's just, I love stuff like that. Yeah,
that's amazing. What a cool
thing. In the interest of time, I'm just going to move on to the next one. It's a little shout out. This is my favorite Twitter account, and this is what I was referring to earlier in the show. It's the This You phenomenon, and this is the Godfather. It's at JRC1921. It's titled Black Lives Matter as the account. And any of these people who are trying to hand-wring about Starmer, the thread is just full of like times where there was Ben Bradley, the ex MP, in this video which has been this year, where he's just completely going like him, Corbyn and his Momentum foot soldiers. It was when Angela Eagle got, I think she was found to have like spoke a mistruth, shall we say, about a window getting put in, and they were saying it was like Corbynites who were doing it, and it was, he's just holding all of these type of people to account with their own words. And it's just putting them so on the back foot. So Black Lives Matter at JRC1921 on Twitter, my absolute favorite. So if you're not following, get to know, because that is just a tremendous and beautiful thing.
I will do that.
More of these things. I mean, accountability is a good thing. And the work of the gods is being done on that Twitter account, let me tell you. Here's the last thing for positive news. This is our friends at NECPOL, which is the Network for Police Monitoring. Kill the Bill activists cleared of riot charges in Bristol.
Hey.
Activists in Bristol have won a partial court victory as Jasmine York has been found not guilty of riot and of arson involving reckless, likely to endanger life. However, York was found guilty of a lesser charge of arson and has been released on bail pending sentencing on the 14th of March. Fingers crossed there. The jury returned a majority not guilty verdict after York's trial last week and spent nearly 2 days in deliberation. Right. York was one among many people facing a prison sentence for a part in the Kill the Bill demonstrations in March 2021 and suffered heavy police violence and injuries from the protest. Any thoughts on that, my good friends, to close the show?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pleased that she's... But, you know, she was found not guilty on those. You know, we'll see what happens with the sentencing. We know they've come down really, really hard on some of them, like the young lad that they've, you know, they've jailed for 14 years, which there's no justification for that. And for anyone who tries to say that there is, I've worked on the outskirts of the criminal justice system for like the best part of 2 decades. I've seen people be sentenced a lot for doing some really, really heinous shit, and that is not reflective of what they normally, you know, of what they normally do. We know that that guy was always, you know, that lad, I'm really sorry, my memory's terrible, I can't remember his name, but he's basically been sent to prison for 14 years, and we knew he was going to serve a prison sentence. Always going to try and make an example of him because of what happened, but that is, you know, that's not reflective of the crime, especially when you see what people are walking free with. Believe me, because I see it every single week.
Right? Yeah, 14 years on that. It was. I hope there's an appeal went in on that particular case because it seems to be one of those, let's make a really big example. Jez, any final thoughts, my friend?
No, just the whole Kill the Bill thing needs, They're very much in the right at the moment. They're sort of endless grasping by the Tories for more power of the state over people's individuality, which you'd think a Conservative government would be against. But we don't have a Conservative government. We've got a fucking Tory government, and they're totally the worst kind. It's so Thatcherite, like, it's that proper grasping, shitty Judge Dredd evil bullshit. That they always did. They did it last time. We've got it again now. And then we'll get to mediocre, middle-of-the-road centre-right party in next, and it'll just swing back and forth.
Woohoo! Cool. It's so inspiring.
But on the bright side, it does mean at some point, with all this kind of repression of stuff, that weird stuff starts happening, and that's why you get people like that guy in Cymru, and he's mad still. And that's always the thing that you get produced off this. The more sort of repressive the regimes, the more that the people that fight against it really sort of shine out and become the touchstones of history. You know what I mean? Like Robin Hood is a fucking hero for a reason. Like, spat in the eye of authority during repressive times.
So, I wonder if Phil Burrows finds the Bogwater moonshine and we all have a bit like the world is just much more better.
My mate Paz used to make this dangerous homebrew back down in Abergavenny, and anybody who drank it got arrested. Stuff would happen. and they drink it, and like, yeah, so it's probably like that. That was, that looked like bog water as well.
Dad had some Slovakian moonshine, which he bought in like the Slovakian mountains that year. I'm pretty sure it was just chloroform, honestly. It was like, yeah, it definitely made him, it made my dad faint. Yeah, good stuff.
That's fantastic, man. Honestly, thanks so much for your time. Obviously, once again, Alice, but Jez, thanks so much for hopping on, man. It's been a beautiful thing to see you again. It's been such a long time because of the pandemic, and I hope we'll cross paths in real life very, very soon indeed, you know?
Absolutely.
Love that, man. Thank you very much. Just a last bit, become a patron and gain instant access to the Cow's private chat forum. Go to patreon.com/cowdaily. Milk the Cow's monthly mental health drop-in will be online there. Also, you will get early access to content tomorrow, podcast with Joe Glenton, and of course, Spy Cops. The audio files are going out tomorrow. We'll be doing a lot of clips of the video files on all of those and spreading that word. We've done a sort of dry rehearsal in January, and now it's time to really get this stuff out into the mix and all of the pre-records that we've done. Loving that. Jez, hope we'll see you on the podcast again, my friend.
Yeah. I'll happily come back on. It's been lovely speaking to you both.
Beautiful times, my friend. All the best. Alice, always a pleasure, never a chore.
Yes. See you later, everybody. I've loved it again.
See you later, everybody. Bye now.